Folks, it's really good to see you, and you're very, very welcome. Really excited about this message this morning. I am about every, I suppose, message, but excited about this one. Again, if I get challenged, we're all going to get challenged. Happy days. And I think today is going to give us a really, really good challenge in that, just to shake things up. And God has been doing a bit of stirring in me and a bit of shaking up in me and realigning what I think the... what's on offer? What does Jesus offer? Right? So we're going to be talking a lot, or seeing a lot from his words. What Jesus said is on offer through the gospel and so on and so forth. So let's have a chat, but let's pray first. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come. Let your presence be felt. And Lord, whatever I speak, that it's from you, and anything that's not from you just falls to the ground. But I do ask for open hearts here this morning, prepared, fertile ground to hear your message and hear your word. It says in your word is a double-edged sword. So Lord, I ask today that we're open to being pierced right to the bone through your word, and that we get a fresh revelation today, Jesus, of you through your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in through your name, Jesus. Amen. So I believe, right, through scripture and through my experiences of Christianity. I grew up as a Catholic, became a Christian, nominal Christian, my own rules type of Christian first, and then I really gave my heart to Jesus. So I think in some instances we've missed the full reason for Jesus' sacrifice. We just think it's just for the sins and happy days, the line is drawn there, and hallelujah, that is amazing. But when we look at what Jesus says and what scripture tells us, it's even more. John 10:10, I've come to give life in full, in abundance. Right? So it's like, yeah, I've come to make you sons of God, back to the Garden of Eden, back to the fullness of what you're meant to be in your Father. Like, think of the prodigal son story. Like, the son didn't just get a job. He got honoured. Like, and sometimes as humans we go, oh my goodness, that is so hard to even see me running to the Father and getting a ring on your finger, a cloak over you, all of that stuff. But that's what's on offer. That's the heart, the Father heart of God we have on offer. The full offer of what he said is available, and what he wants for us is clear in scripture. From when we look at John 17 and his prayer for us. We're going to get that now in a sec. And what his heart is for us. Unfortunately, we have sometimes substituted this for something else versus what's on offer. And we can see that in what different denominations have offered. And it's sometimes a stained glass window of Jesus. Me and Noel were here yesterday praying, and we've actually ventured into the Catholic Church. Don't worry, we're not converting. But we ventured in, and we were like, wow. I can speak to this because I was a Catholic, and I can speak to it. So I was like, wow, I really had a rose-tinted Jesus. How man-made rules can get in the way of the real deal and what he offers, right? But us, we love a good bit of penance, and we love skin in the game, don't we? We love, what do I have to do? So I want to earn something. This drive to earn stuff, what is that about? And yet that's why there's so many denominations, so many rules, so many different things that keep us away from God's love. One other thing I'd like to test with all of us today is that the time we live in right now is not a time to be casual with your relationship with God. Not a time to be casual. It's a time to seek deeply into the depth of what God has for us. We must acknowledge that there is, at times, a struggle for us to mature into a deeper relationship. And if you're here today genuinely saying that, I'm at my peak, trust me, there's a lot more for you. There's a lot more. I've been at times where I've sat going, where next to? There's a bit of lethargy, a bit of apathy, a bit of what's next? and it's alive, the enemy of the world, what more can your God give you? Oh, a lot more. And that's what's on offer. So if we look at what Christianity has done, we have, this is me not going, oh, look at the Catholics, look at it. Look at us. Like, you look at your own hearts, how rules are set in place in our own hearts. We, as followers of Jesus, we have made something that does not bring the full offer of Jesus. Sometimes we don't even believe there's full forgiveness. Sometimes we don't feel worthy. And the offer of Jesus is, you are worthy because of I made you worthy. What I did, you're worthy to me. I spilt my blood, so you're valuable to me. The precious pearl story gives us that. We are precious to him. So in Christianity, this is what we do. And it's all the time. Look at the new churches kicking off at times and see what people are saying. And you're like, and test the things that people say. Even me, even here, like, you got to test and go, is it religion or relationship that people are offering from the pulpit? We've made something that is not of the kingdom. We rules, barriers, falsehoods. We put mediators between the mediator. We do works instead of grace, and that is a slippery slope. We do bondage instead of freedom. We do guilt versus freedom. We don't talk about unrepented sin. Right, so we don't want to talk about those ugly things. And that's not what is on offer in Jesus. When we stop even talking about those stuff, that's not what Jesus said. That's not what... That we need to go there so that we get the full extent of what Jesus really offers. We offer programs, quick anecdotes, and we create this distance, more loftiness between us and God. And we forget that now God wants to dwell and is dwelling in us when we become born again. I was praying this morning about this, and I found myself writing these words, typing them out, going, oh, how we have grieved the Spirit. We have looked elsewhere to bring us into all truth and not the Spirit. How man does that? We look for everywhere else to bring us into truth. We even Google, and we even look to YouTube. We look for quick fixes for truth rather than seeking the Spirit within us. Rather than seeking the Spirit of truth. And we seek, and I can stand over this. I've done this. At times I've sought knowledge, not the kingdom. I've sought revelation and not the Spirit. I've sought quick fixes versus waiting patiently on God. And I've sought a kingdom without the king. Your soul was made to wait on God. And what the world is offering right now is a quick fix to everything. We have taught our soul that things can happen quickly. Our soul was made by God to be in constant need of him. Not quickly, but he has made your soul to dwell in his presence, to not get answers quickly, to sit and wait and firstly know he is God. That should be the first place we go with everything. And I'm going to be saying I'm guilty. I don't. I do look to Google. I do look to knowledge. I do look to puffing stuff up, my own knowledge. If I know more, I'll get closer to God. That's not what he says. I look to revelation. Quick, I want more revelation. I want more revelation, God. And the Spirit says, no, you want more God. Revelation will come by knowing God. We are made for union with God. Jesus said this. We need refilling every single day. The story of the lamps tells us this. You need your oil topped up. C.S. Lewis puts it absolutely brilliant. We are beings that run on God. Right? And yes, the world can tell you, and you'll get by, that you could get by on the world, it won't be fulfilling. Nothing is fulfilling as God. And trust me, this is so contended for. I pray for spiritual eyes around this stuff. Your relationship with God and the truth is contended for in a very, very dramatic way that's played out in this world. Your relationship of growing deeper into God, deeper into relationship with Jesus, is in contention with God, or is in contention with this world. Even how we've set up Sundays. I'm going to test this with you guys. And I say that we, church, right? How we set up Sundays even. This is the only, like, there's an underlining implicit thing that says, this is where you come and get God. Absolutely not. You've already got God. You can find him anywhere. So yesterday's manna won't cut it anymore, not in times like this. We have to go to the well every single day. And it's practices that you have to learn. We have to learn God in a different manner we've been learning him. There's a brilliant guy from, he was from Scotland, George MacDonald, if you got a chance to read some of the stuff, really, really good. So thankfully somebody has taken his old ye English kind of thing and interpreted it into what we'd understand, right, thank God. And he says, I'm paraphrasing, he says something like this: we've got to unlearn God, how we've learned him, and seek the Spirit to guide us into all truth. Because, like, even what I'm presenting to you now is through a filter of a human. It's through a, like, we have to find it by going to the source. And we have that opportunity. You have that opportunity to sit in the presence of the living God and go, what's up? Tell me what's going on. What have you got for me today, Lord? I don't want to conjure up stuff. I have an agenda, but I want to give you my agenda. I want to give it over to you. I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. I want my heart to be your happy. But we get sucked into the world's agendas. The latest war going on, the latest this going on. You're like, your soul can't take that without connecting to God first. He may want you to go there. He may want you to be concerned and pray and all that stuff. We've got to be filled first. We've got to go back to the reservoir first. Rivers of living water. Some days I'm not even a trickle. I'm going to be honest. Some days it's barren as anything. I'm parched. Because the way I've thought I go about seeking the Lord is social media. And even though, by the way, right, my social media is full of godly people. Right? Like, really good. I'm a great guy. And I can just feel the Spirit going, just sit with me first. But so quick. I want a quick fix. More knowledge. More stuff. More revelation. Where can I get it? That's not what I see in Scripture. I know him, Jesus, to the extent that my willingness, my ways, my thoughts, my values, and my motives allow him. Allow him in. I put a limit via the extent of my willingness to actually obey and sit still. I put a limit on Jesus in my life. This is why the old man has to die. We always think we can do one better. We always think we have the answer. We always think we can conjure up and search. And honestly, the world tells you this. You can get things fast. This is not the way of the kingdom. You have to find a new rhythm. We have to find a new rhythm. Let's listen to Jesus, what he says. Mal, I think John 17, I think, if you can get it. The one I asked. Cheers, buddy. This is Jesus' prayer, right? Imagine, Jesus prayed this for you and me. Just let that sink in. And I want today, I pray today, that you see these things, not as lofty, just scriptures. This is your Jesus praying for you. Your Jesus praying for you. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Wow, what an offer. So, Christianity sometimes stops at your sins are forgiven. That's amazing. But we very rarely talk about the union of Jesus that he wants with you, that the Father, Son, and Spirit want to dwell in you. In Romans, it tells us that the Father wants to make you like the Son. And in Scripture, it tells us he wants to take us from glory to glory. And can you see how denominations just double down on certain parts and go, that's enough for now. That's enough. Don't get ahead of yourself now. And I have to say, the Irish are brilliant at this. Don't get ahead of yourself now. Back in your box. Oh no, we won't be having any of that. Won't be having any growth. No growth. No maturing with you now. What's that about? We're dreadful at that. Now, John 15, please. And you can look at these as tidy, beautiful little metaphors. Please look beyond the invitation, into the invitation of what Jesus is saying here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. There's a lot of remaining, right? There's a lot of stay connected to the source. And think of a vine and the branches. What sustains is water. Beautiful water, Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus left us with. I'll give you a presence. Holy Spirit. This is not just a beautiful metaphor. This is a lifestyle. This is how Jesus wants to be intimately knit into your life. And this is what's on offer. Not through a program, not through being good and being here every Sunday. No. This is absolutely an invitation into the intimate relationship that Jesus died for and purchased for you. This is Garden of Eden. This is the walking in the beauty of the afternoon with God. Is this hard sometimes to believe? Like, I've read that verse so many times. And I haven't sat and meditated on it and go, all right. I don't know how to do it, but I give you my yeah. I want that. I need that. And folks, can I just tell you, if there was ever a time, there's all time, every Christian on the face of this planet needs this. But now, I'm telling you, we need this. We need no other source other than Jesus Christ. We need no other source other than staying in this. This is why he's like, remain, 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 remain. What did I tell you? Remain in me. Don't go left and right. Remain in me. This is so important to our Christian walk. In this, you get a new level of thinking, new thoughts. You renew your mind. All of the stuff that comes from what Jesus promised. I really, 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 really hope that this cuts to the bone and we go, okay, Jesus, I'm going to take you up on the offer. What does that mean for me? That's not just another little sermon that I'm not trying to give nice little anecdotes, that this is real to you, that this really hits home. And I heard this a few weeks ago. Everything we do in the Lord should bring union. There's one for you. bring us closer to union. And if it's not bringing you closer to union, don't do it. Everything you should be doing should be bringing you closer to union with Jesus. Everything. When you walk in here on a Sunday, we should be bringing it should be a union moment with Jesus. When we pray during the week, a union moment with Jesus. When your inner thoughts with Jesus, union with Jesus. This is what he wanted. This is what he wanted. He said, Father, I want them one with you and me. One. Revelation is pretty clear of his invitation. I knock, behold, I knock. And I come in and I will feast with you. I will sit with you. It's so intimate. So, this is a question for you, and I'll tell you how I've substituted union. I have substituted union with content. I love reading stuff. I love reading books and, great knowledge, and it's great. But it's kind of useless without what we see here, the Spirit driving it forward. Have I asked for that content? Jesus, I want this content because I want further union with you. That's different than, I want revelation, Lord. I want revelation because I want union with you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's not about me. I actually want union with you. And if you ask me to read something else, I want you. If that brings me into union with you, brilliant. I want further union with you. End of story. That's all I want. Coming alive with you, Jesus. Sanctifying your... Because very quickly in my heart it was coming, I know a lot more now. BS. You can know as much as you want. And trust me, this is going to sound awful. There are a lot of people who know an awful lot of scripture and an awful lot of stuff that don't know Jesus. A lot. Because that's not what was on offer with Jesus. Of course, knowledge, etc., needs to be sanctified through him, not puff us up. And it warns us in scripture, careful with knowledge puffing you up. Careful. It needs to be in him. And his goal, right, his prayer to the Father, Jesus' prayer to the Father is give them union. Not give them more knowledge, give them union, Father. Let them be a branch, and I'm the vine. How are you feeling like a branch today, huh? But that's on offer. So what are the fruits of this union? What are the things of this union? In Jeremiah, it gives a great story about being moulded by God on the potter's table. You'll be remoulded by God to be just full of your own potential. And we see that you will become mature in every single way. Every single way, if we take this union seriously. We see it in the journey of the disciples. They start off as lost sheep. They're all over the gaff, right? They become children, right? Whimsical around Jesus, not knowing what's going on, but we'll follow you. Even like they didn't know what was going on, but there's something here. Oh, so you could see them kids. And you see them turn into teenagers. He was going to be the biggest lad up in the kingdom, Jesus. I want to be at your right hand. You know, this kind of thing. Teenagers, they haven't got a clue. So there's a maturing. And then they become servants because Jesus said, okay, I'll send you out now. You're ready to be servants. Right? Given orders, right? And then Jesus says this beautiful thing. I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. It's a maturing step. And this is what's available when we get into union with Jesus. He brings us on a journey. He refines us. And then through that friendship, knowing who they are in Jesus, they become shepherds, soldiers, missionaries, life changers. Because they went through the maturing step. Now talk about, they had 3 years of hardcore Jesus. Right? They needed 3 years. Right? They needed to be sitting at his feet and they still didn't get it right. How much more do we need to be sit at the Master's feet? We will get fruits and gifts of the Spirit. We will get peace beyond all understanding. We will get healing, guidance, I just even, I'll give you one example. So I've really tried to sit with the Lord very patiently and tried to, and it's really difficult. 5 minutes in, I'm like, I am sending emails to people. It's mad. Oh, Lord, I want your presence, Lord. Oh, I just need to send that email. Yeah, what'll I do? What'll I say? It's mad, right? But it's a spiritual muscle we need to expand on. And that's okay. Jesus is so gentle. He goes, it's okay. It's okay. Like, just during the week, I said, there was something I wasn't bringing to him. He said, hey, what about those thoughts? When wicked thoughts come in, like, you're like, oh, where'd that come from? Kick that out, get out. Right? And I wasn't dealing with them. Not dealing with them. And Jesus said this, bring me into those. What? Bring me into them. Bring me into your thoughts. Give them to me. So I allow the thought come in, and I go, Jesus, come into that thought. Folks, this is a revelation. This was phenomenal. Like, I was like literally, they were renewed. It was like God, like, it was phenomenal. And I wouldn't have gotten that without practicing union with Jesus. And even using that word, practicing, that's nonsense. That's not my words, verbiage, it's awful. It's actually, this is what's on offer. It's actually us doing how to live. This is how to live. So me living in union with Jesus, I was able to get freedom because of it. And I would have searched so many different web pages, looked at so many videos, how to assail thoughts, how, read every scripture under the sun about thoughts, etc. And that would have been brilliant, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying absolutely read scripture, because scripture came back and he was reminding me of, this is what this means. But there's so much power in the presence of Jesus when you just let him be and you expose yourself and go, Jesus, I'm open. I want union with you. And then lastly, we get the right representation of who Jesus is so that we can give it to others. I absolutely confess that the version of Jesus I've spoken to people about has been a pretty limited one at times. Because it's true, a broken shell, a true brokenness. I've stopped at that. He forgives you. And he does. I stop there, and it's just limited to how I've experienced him. And the offer of him is, if you experience more of me and come into union with me, how you will offer me differently to others. I want that. I don't want to limit him by my experience of him. I want to go to somebody and go, let me tell you about this pal I have. He is amazing. I've been healed by this. Jesus, he's alive. He is alive. Let me tell you about him. Do you want to meet him? Can we pray? Do you want to meet him? Instead of, have you accepted Jesus into your life? Do you want to pray it now? That works too, right? But I just something better to offer now. Is an experience of. I've let him into my heart. Deeper. Romans 5, Mal, if you wouldn't mind, buddy. And I'd ask you to test how you read scripture. Because with union with Jesus, with sitting and resting and allowing the Holy Spirit to work, you can then go, can I give you my understanding of scripture here, please? Can I give you that, Holy Spirit? Can you show me, lead me into all truth here? What does this mean? I'm telling you now, it will open up scripture in no other way you could imagine. No other human thought could even expound on. I'm telling you now. So when we read this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, into which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved through God's wrath, from God's wrath through him? So I read that during the week. I read that loads of times. I was like, wow, that's cool. It's great. And Jesus said, change the word us and we. Change them to I. I was like, wow. I give it a lash. And then the test was, do you really believe this though? So let me read it out. I have been made right in God's sight by faith in Jesus. I have peace with God because what Jesus Christ my Lord has done for me. Because of my faith, Christ has brought me into a place of undeserved privilege where I now stand. And this is from the NLT, by the way. And I confidently and joyfully look forward to share God's glory. I can rejoice too when I run into troubles and trials, for I know that they will help me develop endurance. And endurance develops character and strength, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for I know how dearly God loves me, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill my heart with his love. When I was utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and he died for me as a sinner. But God showed his great love for me by sending Christ to die for me while I was still that sinner. And since I have been made right with God in his sight by the blood of Jesus, he will certainly save me from God's condemnation. For since my friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while I was still his enemy, I will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now I can rejoice in my wonderful new relationship with God because my Lord Jesus has made me a friend of God. Now I have to say that was a revolution for me. That was like total and utter revolution in my heart that I could actually own that, and particularly the last bit, that now I am a friend of God. And I genuinely can now read scripture and change that into more personal and go, well, that is actually for me. He meant that for me, because I was quickly believing it for everybody else. I'd easily read that and go, God, for us and we. And I go, yeah, definitely, guys, this is so for you. But somewhere in my heart going, is it really for me, God? Is it for me? Is it? God doesn't want us sitting there. And why do I say this? Is because I only got this years a Christian to actually allow myself to read scripture like that and go, this is for you, Bernard. And now what I have to offer is to go, this is personal. Jesus died for people, for you, not for a community, not for a religion. He died for you as a person. And he's absolutely enthralled with your growth and your maturity as a person, but it can only happen in him. So, what do we do? That's great, Bernard. Great, yeah, talk about union with God and fantastic. What do we do? Well, let's read out John 14. Let's have a go at this, because this is the only place we can start. Mal, have you got that? I think. Hope. Awesome. Thank you. If you love me, obey my commandments, this is Jesus, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you, or with you now, and later will be with you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Pretty cool, no? I haven't been doing that. I haven't been going, okay, Spirit of all truth, fill me with truth. I've been going, I want to, where is this? It's like a, like I've gone, it's a mad search, and I can, and it's a danger of developing a truth-ism or any kind of ism without the Holy Spirit. And I, hand on heart, have grieved the Holy Spirit by not saying, Spirit of truth, can you guide me into all truth of Jesus and the Father? It should be our first port of call as Christians, and it hasn't been for me. Spirit of truth, can you come and lead me? Now, I'm gonna ream off a bit of a list, and it's great list and all that stuff. But I really hope for conviction. I really hope, because I need this, you need this. We need it, folks. This is a heart cry. This is a heart cry. You need to spend time with God and not be worried about the pressure of not hearing from Him, but spend time with God, even just loving Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Thank you. I love you. Take 5 minutes. Start with that. Jesus, I love you. Imagine, right, if I put on soft music and we said, for the next 10 minutes, we're just gonna, you just spend time with the Lord. I guarantee you, you'd be fidget, because I would. I'd be fidgeting. And time is dinner. That's not good, folks. Like, imagine. I would even, as a person, I'm like, oh, I can't do that. The guys will kill me. But that's mad. That is bonkers. That is utter bonkers that we cannot go 10 minutes. We're going to seek the Lord on something. In our group on a Wednesday, we started to do that. Going, no, we're spending time here seeking the Lord, and not to hear, just not to go, right, Lord, we're testing you here. Come on. It's like, no, Lord, we're just spending, you have your way here. We have our agenda. We have prayers. We're going to pray in the Word and so on. But Lord, we're setting time apart from you to minister to us whatever way you wish. You come. Not my agenda. You come. This is your meeting, not mine. It's so important to do this. Please, this is Bernard saying, I'm not doing this very well at the moment, but I'm telling you now, this is me seeking the kingdom first. I'm going after it like a bloodhound. I'm going after it because I've seen the fruits of it. I've seen how, oh my goodness, when I sit with Jesus, stuff happens. Of course it does. He's your king of your heart. He loves you. He wants to give you all revelation. He doesn't want to overburden you. He wants to give you his yoke. He wants to, the Holy Spirit wants to couple up with you as a paraclete. Like, be your, like, literally couple up with you. Live in you. That's the offer. Live in God in you. Some practical things that I'd like to say to you. There's an app called the Pause app. Download it and have a go of it. It'll get you into a nice rhythm or something of a few things. It's a really good app. It has a 30-day thing that gives you about 10 minutes every day to sit and just listen to truths. It's really good. And it gets you into the habit. Your spirit going, oh, I need to disconnect from the world here. I need to unplug from the matrix. I need time. I need filling up. And folks, you need fresh oil every day. Yesterday's manna, it's gone. You are made to hear from God every single day. Don't rely on yesterday's manna. So download that app. It's really, really good. Right? It's so good, even Noel uses it. So there you go. It's been signed off by the top. All right? And looking for union, not content. Don't look for content. Look for union. Jesus, where are you in this? And lastly, what I would love you to do is just say, read Psalm 91 a few times this week. Mal, maybe you can throw it up. Now, you may say that lovely metaphors. Oh, beautiful metaphors. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High.
These are not metaphors. These are our spirit dwelling and you feeling the power of God in your life. The actual shelter of the Most High. This is not lofty words. This is actually you experiencing the shelter of the Most High. And resting in the shadow of the Almighty. Having rest that is totally and utterly out of this world. That you can't even explain. A refuge and fortress in God. These are not just lofty metaphors. This is what God offers. So I'd challenge you gently to read that maybe every day. And sit with it and say, Spirit, come and show me. It'll be a good habit to get into. Alright. So, we're going to do communion. Trev, Nate, would you mind? We're going to do communion, and this is the ultimate cross-section, if I can use that word, ultimate cross-section of union with Jesus. He invites us to the cross, he invites us to give our sins unto him, he invites us then to share in his glory of his resurrection. We're going to be celebrating that a lot next week, but this is the ultimate. So this is the ultimate cross-section of union. So we get to share. Imagine, we get to go, okay, Jesus, you take all the pain, all the hurts, and we'll see you on the other side of the cross. That is what we do. Do we remember that, Jesus, you went through what we were meant to go through, but yet we get to share in your glory. This is phenomenal. And he wants you to experience his resurrection life every single day. So Jesus, we take this body, we take it, and we remember you, Lord God, and we thank you so much, Jesus, that you took our sins. You took them all, everything. Past, present, and future, and we lay them at your feet. And Lord God, we take this cup. We cleanse ourselves with your blood, Jesus. For the renewing of our spirits, souls, bodies and minds. You've renewed us. You've ransomed us with this blood. You have paid a very heavy price, Jesus, and we thank you for it. And we love you. Father, we run into your arms because of what your son did. We praise you so much. Holy Spirit, the gift from Father and Son, come. Be in our week. We want more. We want union with Jesus. We need union with Jesus.